The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 403. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Colonel, can you hear me?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Yo, let's make this quick so we can go back to playing Call of Duty. Thank you.
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
And Brian Monjoma.
Pouring one out for G4.
Oh, man.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Is it official now? Or,
you know, I don't think it's. Oh, no. I'm just saying don't respect G4 in any way, even post-mortem.
Yeah. All right. We're back another one. And test number one, I'm able to scream from my new apartment. So that's good. You know, you never know what would happen, right? Like, I'm paying for all this fucking internet. So that's why I have a different background. You know, I'm in the new pad, which is cool. Also, the reason I signed Echo is because I have half an empty apartment. So. You know,
we got to put up those things that Carlos has in his background there to dampen the sound a little bit.
I was actually thinking about that too. You know, like have some sound things like behind me and shit.
Oh, once you start filling things up, audio will break apart. Once
you have like more things in there.
I'll tell you guys off air and stuff. But one of our friends, me and Manny's very good friend, he gave me a housewarming gift that will come in Wednesday. A sofa bed, as you already know, which is pretty nice. Cool.
So, Tony, what's up? You need a rug. I mean, you may not.
Because you know I got to roll around and shit.
Yeah,
I tell you that if you would, that deadens the sound more than anything.
Oh no, I understand, but I got to be functional about it. Rugs slow me down. I have to.
You get low profile ones.
We'll see. I had a low profile one, and it's even on the chair that I have now. I roll around, and then that gets caught.
It's not get caught. I have to push harder on it to move on any kind of rug, you know? That's why I hate going to like those booths with those thick ass fucking rugs, you know?
Or any of the hotel's rooms, right?
Yeah, those are all annoying. Yeah.
What about the like, you know, the entrance rugs, like the little black rugs at the beginning of
I've never rolled over a single rug that I was like, "Oh, I didn't realize it's there." I feel that resistance. So I'm like, I'm not dealing with that shit at home, you know? I want to just roll around and do my thing. You know,
you have to get some wall hangers or something.
He just wants to go like, and then just roll across the room.
That's it. That's why when you come in, like literally the whole middle will be just be open. I'm not going to put any little desk or anything because that's going to get in the way. You know,
yeah. Because officially, like if Tony didn't have any sort of like have any guests at his house, he wouldn't need any chairs.
I wouldn't need
like chair that's sitting that's going to be that was the housewarming. It was literally for everybody else to be able to sit in this house.
Yeah, remember I was joking. I was like, I should do like a fundraiser because I don't need it for myself. Mm-hmm. And 99% of the time it's just there. So I made sure I had to at least get a do you want to get this one or do you want to get this one? So I picked the one that looks cool at least. So at least I had some kind of aesthetic value to it because otherwise I'm not going to sit on that fucking thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I'm very happy about it because now I can have people over, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with my apartment. By the way, this is not a wall. This is the curtain. So this will be probably black hopefully soon, you know?
I'm not sure what angle it's facing, but I know like during
the street's there. So I'm like, I don't want you guys seeing the street, you know?
No.
What? Why?
You never know what'll happen down there, you know? And also, I don't want people to triangulate where it might live, you know? There's a reason I haven't really been announcing this on Twitter. I don't want some motherfucker trying to find out where I live, dox me and all this other shit. I got a lot of haters out there, Brett, you know? So it is what it is, man. Anyway,
it is real.
Yeah, it is, man. Without further ado, let's get into some questions. Not a lot this week, which is interesting because last week was kind of packed with news, but not a lot of questions. So, yeah, let's get into it, man. First one from who is this? Eurocar 9? Who is this?
Wow, we already start with this with these guys.
Well, you know, he asked a very pertinent question.
Next, Rhyme Your Desk going to say some shit.
Maybe. the question is simple. What are Adams' thoughts on the new Call of Duty beta?
Oh man, like I said, mother's milk, man.
Mother's milk. Oh, is that a Red Hot Chili Peppers and shit?
No, it's oh man, and I've talked about this before. You know, I'm a Call of Duty guy for life. I love it. It's a thing I do, right? So, and I cover it over at thecoalition.com. I review them all pretty much. And so the last one, Vanguard, was garbage, right? The story, the World War II going back to, I feel like the best Call of Duty World War II was Call of Duty World War II back in 2017 or something like that. But that was awesome. The hub, everything was great about it. Anyway, Vanguard, disappointing. Multiplayer, disappointing, all that stuff. So here we go. Now back to Modern Warfare. 2019 was solid. It was great gameplay. And now we have this one. And they said we're incorporating some new things. We have the Ground War Invasion. This is 20v20, which also includes AI combatants, is what they're calling them. All right. So you have some on your side. There's some on the other side. If you've played any of the Battlefront 2 games, the multiplayer, then you know what I'm talking about, where you see some of the troopers run around, right, and you kill them. So the same thing, that fills up the map. So now it's just like there's people everywhere. You know, some are real and some of these AI guys. So it really adds more impact to the idea of close combat war. So this guy's upstairs, this guy's downstairs, there's people running. Like, how many are there here? You know, besides the fact that it's 20, and apparently that this talk to there, that's just the ground level for. They're talking about expanding that at some point. So we'll see, but it's awesome. It's running around. You do get points for killing these AI guys, and that also helps toward your kill streak and also helps toward the overall group score. You have to get 1,000 points. You parachute in, sort of like how you do it in Warzone, so it's not like just spawn points and stuff that people can,
Warzone, right? No, it's not Warzone.
Warzone comes later. Because here's the other thing. And here's, well, I'm going to get to why you weren't enough. All right. So that right there is awesome, right? The fact that you have that. You can also revive people in certain modes. It's sort of like that, but not as long. I mean, this is really quick. Like, let's say if two of us run into a hallway, guy sprays the area, he sees my buddy drop, I take cover behind the wall, and then he takes off thinking he got the kill. They'll show a little medical sign over the guy, and it's only, I feel like it's maybe 5 or 10 seconds. So if you can run over there quick, boom, press X, you can revive him and bring him back into the fight, which is cool. Also, they have third-person mode now. Third person. There was a whole playlist just for third person. So it feels like The Division. The cover system isn't, you know, like The Division where you're taking great cover and all. You're just crouching down and popping shots. But still, you're in third person. You're running around. When you go into actual shooting, your right trigger, left trigger, look down sights, you jump into first person. So you're getting the best of both worlds. Because the argument, and this is why there's been no third person in Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3 had it in private mode, but they've never been dedicated. Is because a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's not an immersive experience. You know, it's like, I don't get that field of view because the depth perception when you're in first person, you can see, obviously, long distance, you can see ahead of you. And you don't, but you don't have the peripheral. The peripheral's not there. Yeah, you can widen it on PC, there's certain settings, but it's still not the same. As opposed to third person, you have wider peripheral because you can see outside over the shoulder, but the depth isn't there, right? Well, if you're switching to first person like this is, where you're not just going closer over the shoulder like in The Division, you're actually going within first person and you go into a scope, changes everything. So really cool. So played a lot of that. Me and Richard Billy Jr., we spent a few hours just doing all that stuff. Yeah, running around in third person and reviving people and doing that whole thing. So it's been great so far. And some of the other modes, there was one that's like it's called Knockout. It's like you grab money and you have to run with it. It's sort of like a capture the flag type of thing without saying capture the flag. It's all right. It's fine.
I remember you sent a video to us on the chat. And
oh yeah.
It showed when you got out that, was it a helicopter or whatever you're getting out of?
Oh, it's in a helicopter, right? And I'll post this in my little preview for this, which I'm working on now. It should be on the website. I'm going to add these videos. So we're in a chopper, right? Guy takes over the chopper. Right, he gets in the chopper, right? So I'm on the gun, I'm shooting, and he's flying around, and all of a sudden we hear beep, 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 poof, we get hit, it's spinning. I'm like, oh shit. So I jump out. And when I jump out, just from the corner of my eye, I could see that there's a guy on the ground just running somewhere. So I'm trying to like position myself with the parachute, right? So I land in the alleyway, just sprint. Once I land, I go sprinting into a building, go to a window, and I see him turn a corner, and that's when you see me get that kill. So it went from a helicopter that was going down, and you could hear it in the video. It blows up behind me. I hope the dude got out. I don't remember if he did, you know, but it blew up behind me. That was one.
I remember that in that video, though, you fell off the helicopter. You're gliding on something, and then you went like out of an area. So that when I saw that, I thought, oh, so this is war zone.
Invasion is similar to that. Where if you go too far out, you'll get that meter because it's still an open area. So you'll see a straight street. I'm like, oh, maybe I can run over there. There's no enemies, but if you keep running, that's when you'll get that alarm. Hey, you got 10 seconds. Get back into the map. And when I was gliding around, circling, I sort of drifted off. But that was an invasion. And then the other video that I sent them, and I'll post that one too, is that so I just spawned in. So I'm on the rooftop, and that's when I was going down the stairs. And then I can see on the mini map, I was like, oh, there's a group of guys coming from around the building. So I was like, all right, I'm going to flank them, right? I'm going to go around, do the whole thing. And then I jump, and I didn't realize they were in a tank. And as I'm jumping down, it just ran me over. Like, I don't even think it was intentional on their end. They're just going down the street. And I just gave them an easy kill, and I had to record that because it was just funny. Because I'm like, all right, y'all, I'm thinking I'm Mr. Spy versus Spy. I'm gonna jump over here. Right, he would go, and once I jump, I just died. You see it go squish, and then when it shows the kill cam, you just see the tank which is rolling down the street. And it says you, you know, so you just see me jumping, wee, right in front. It was hilarious.
So like when you died, you had no idea what happened, right?
Yeah, I had no idea because it just, you see that in the video, you just see it just like, it goes black. I'm like, what just happened? Did I die from the fall? It wasn't that high. Hilarious. It's like two stories. It's because I got ran over, you know? So it's fun. It's fun. I mean, the only hiccup I had, actually, I didn't have any when it comes to actual the gameplay. Rich, his game crashed and we were both playing on Xbox Series X. Yeah, his crashed. Yeah, so that was a weird one right there. But the only other thing, and this happens in every Call of Duty, and even when I play FIFA, I mean, we get people that jump on in these chats with loud music and talking. I don't know if they know that they're not muted because they're not really talking or talking trash to anyone else, but they're just yapping. They're playing also the TVs in the background. I hate it. So I'm always going into all of them and just muting. So I recommend, just like I always do, if you have some buddies, go into private chat. Yeah, I get it. You want to talk with the other guys. Maybe you can send them an invite or just turn on the group just to hear if they're chatting with others, if they're one of the loud ones. If not, then, you know, just send them an invite. Say, hey, we got a private chat because some of these people are a little bit too loud. Because some of the missions can last kind of long. You still have to get 1,000 points in invasion. And there's a whole point system, and it varies depending on shooting down UAVs and blowing up tanks and helicopters. I mean, everything has points. You do get points for the bot kills, which is great. So far I'm having fun with this, and it's been a while since, not since World War II, the Call of Duty World War II, which I think was 2017, or was it 18? 2017, I don't know, it was one of those, but it was a new one. It's not one of the older, it was one of the new ones. I lived on that multiplayer. I prestiged like two or three times, which is, you know, you hit level 60 and then you start over and it hit them. I loved it. I just loved it. The interface, everything was great. And I fell off from all the ones. I would jump in for a little bit. And I'm like, it doesn't feel the same. And this is great. And here's the other thing with that third person. They're going all in with this because third person is also coming to Warzone. Warzone 2 is going to have third person. And some people may think, well, what's the big deal? The whole thing is, this is huge because we've talked about this so many times about first person games emphasizing the need to sell you cosmetics. What's the point, right? We talked about that with even with Cyberpunk, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, man, how often do you see it? Well, that's the whole thing. They keep emphasizing all these operators, which is your character, right? And they have all these attachments. Yeah, the gun, but what about the outfits? He looks great in the menu, but I don't see him when I'm in it until I die. Then they do a zoom out. Yeah. Well, here you go. Warzone, third person mode. You know, and now that it's not replacing first person, it's separate playlist. That's the other thing. It's a separate play for people that just want to do third person. And I have a feeling that's going to take off because a lot of people also play Fortnite. And what's the upside of Fortnite? Third person, and you get to see your gear, right? You get to see yourself as Spider-Man or whatever, of the dude you're running around as. It makes no sense, right, in that environment. So,
yeah. By the way, just real quick, just to paraphrase Cat Williams, every time I think about, like, you know, dressing up a first person character, like, you know, in anything, I think about what Cat Williams said about rims. You don't get rims for you. You don't see you're driving. You get them for other people. It's the same thing
with having the TVs in the back of your seat. That's right. You can't watch. Yeah. That's for the car behind you. to see that you're falling, that you have TVs in the back, and you have them on. It's not that you just have them; you have them sitting in the back, and there's no one sitting in the back.
That, but that's what the skins are in first person.
Exactly. It's not for you. So this is awesome. So here it is. They have some crazy. They had this one. It's like this one outfit where this. It's like a combination of the Pirates of the Caribbean. What's his name?
Johnny.
The squid looking dude. No,
Long John Silver.
No. With Davy Jones. Remember the squid?
Davy Jones.
Well, you have the helmet, and it has like these long things, like you're wearing a mask. Yeah. It has like it's crazy looking. But now you see your guy walking around and moving. You see them swaying and stuff. I'm like, I'm a squid looking dude. Really cool. And I was just enjoying it. I was like, this is great. And it just flowed. And that's the thing. The sound effects are really emphasize the sounds. That if, especially if you have your headset on or even good speakers, because it's all about different footsteps down. So your team will have like a lighter footsteps down and enemies will have a louder one. Mm. So if you're in certain rooms and you don't even have to look at the map now, you can just hear like louder and know, okay, I hear from my right ear cup and they're loud. That has to be an enemy. Sure enough, one will come running across. And if you hear lighter ones, that's a teammate. Yeah, so you can pinpoint things. So they're adding audio cues because, of course, the your characters talk with others. It was like, hey, all right, we're going to go to the right. All right, go for it. You're not saying it. It's just the characters. But now they're really emphasizing on the audio cues, which is awesome. But they're doing this for a reason, because they removed the dots, the red dots, from pinpointing on the mini maps. Now, this might not stay forever. This is causing a lot of issues in the Reddits and the community. So this might come back. When the beta is gone and official game, this might not even be a thing. But they removed it. And a lot of people were upset because now they can't pinpoint where people are. And it's like, yeah, because now they want to emphasize from the audio, right? Hear them. Like real life type of situations. But we'll see. And then they also took away the names. So your players had little arrow things on top of them. So you know the color arrows, like blue and red. So you knew before they would have the gamer tag. And then as of last night, I went on and I did see the gamer tag pop up again. There was an update. So I think they put that back. Cool. But that wasn't there before. Before it was just like a little red marker showing you're on your red team and then the blue for the blue. But it looked like they put the names back. But they're not as big. But who knows? Maybe they could go into accessibility and change it. But whatever, it wasn't there before. But overall, I'm enjoying it. I don't know. This might be, believe it or not, this third person might be what brings me into Warzone. Uh-oh. And I wasn't a big fan of that Battle Royale shit. It just didn't do it for me. I tried Battlegrounds. I tried all that. It just never really did it for me. And I really thought Call of Duty was going to do it with Blackout. Remember? I was like, oh, this is going to be great. But I don't know what it was. It just never kept my attention. And this might do it. I guess because I like third-person games. I like The Division. You know, I like running around and doing that. So if you add that in a big war environment like this with tanks and vehicles and getting in all kinds of things, it's a good experience. So, yes, I am enjoying this beta. It ends in a few hours. So,
I was going to ask, it's only going to be a private beta? They're not going to do a public one?
We'll see. Usually how this works is we get this private one because, they call it the open beta, which is weird. I get why they're calling it open, because it's open that it's you're playing with people on other platforms. And you can see that, too. When at the bottom, it'll show like the head count, and you click on it, and it'll show if they're playing on PC, Xbox, whatever. You know, but you still have to pre-order in order to play this. It's not officially out. So I would think as they get closer to the release date, they'll eventually release one. Or maybe they won't. It's all up to whatever they want to do. If they feel the sales aren't pulling up with the pre-orders, maybe they'll do it. But when this comes out, I forgot the date, but it's like a week apart. So you get early access, you get the game, boom, you get the campaign, you're playing on that. But then the multiplayer comes a week after that, and then I think it's 2 weeks after that is Warzone.
Mm.
Right? And so it's all like split up. And if I remember right, the multiplayer XP that you get carries over into this Warzone 2. And and I only know this because I saw people really upset because this shows how divided the community, and that's why I keep telling people there's two Call of Duty games coming this year, because there's a lot of people that don't play Modern Warfare or any of the Call of Duty's proper. They're all Warzone. That's a free-to-play game. So they're like, I'm going to wait for that. Well, if your multiplayer stats, your loadouts, all the attachments, all that stuff carry over, you have a big advantage over all the people that are just going to jump into Warzone 2 when that launches. And I think that's the issue that they have, is that, oh, well, once we launch, now we're going to be getting murked by all these guys that have been playing it for like 2 weeks straight and creating massive loadouts, getting all the attachments for their weapons and, you know, that type of deal.
Yeah, that's a legit concern, though.
Yeah, it's a legit concern. But then you could see on the other end where on the publisher side, it's like, hey, well, we want to give incentive for people to jump in. We don't want to keep dividing it. It's like, all right, you have to create a guy for your multiplayer. Now you got to create another guy for the war zone. You know, they don't want to keep dividing things. So, well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But you know, overall, it's fun. And hopefully the campaign is great. I'm a little disappointed that they're not. The Black Ops series, Black Ops 3, 1, 2, and 3 did this, where they had co-op campaign. That was awesome. Four-player co-op. They didn't do that for the other ones, Cold War, and all the other spin-offs of the series don't do that. And that sucks, but I'm looking forward to the campaign in this one. And the multiplayer, so far, fun. So it's good. I like it.
Real quick, Logic Win says, the beta has been open for people who don't pre-order. People who pre-order just got early access to the beta. Yeah,
he's
wrong about right. something. Yeah,
what was it? What
he
was
said
it?
You're fake news, essentially.
Oh, okay,
yeah, but anyway, we got the correct one. So thank you for that.
So yeah, good, because that was the thing I couldn't understand, because I knew people that were trying to get it, and there was no download option, because they said the same thing. It says open beta, but they're like, where do you go? And if you go to their official website, it takes you to a pre-order page, and he keeps emphasizing to jump into the action. You have to pre-order. So that's why I don't understand, like, with the whole open beta idea of calling it that, if it's not just download now, just play it, just jump in. So what was the early access? Because when mine went live, it went live with everybody, and I had to use a code. That was on Thursday. So what, I got 1 day early, because I think it opened it. Was it Friday? Is that what he's saying then?
Yeah, when did it open, Logic Wins?
Yeah, when did it open?
Yeah, I have no idea. But I thought, didn't you get a code because your press?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I got that on Monday, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't work. It said the servers were down, and it said they were going to be down until, they weren't going to go live until the 22nd. You know, so then, all right, well, then that's what, Thursday.
Early access was Thursday and Friday, he says.
See? All right, Thursday. So, but when did it go
open Saturday to everybody? Saturday and Sunday today was for everyone else.
Okay, so then there you go. So then it's 2 days. So you get 2 days. All right.
Yeah, respect, brother. Thanks for the clarification.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Because I was wondering about that. So I guess that's why they did. So when I was seeing it, it was still closed. Because that's what I was saying. When they sent me the email, and also even on the Xbox, when you open up, you'll see the interface in the store, and it's like, oh, here, get it. It's telling you to pre-order to get access to the beta.
Yeah.
But I guess because that was still Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, that's
Saturday,
probably what it was.
I was already playing, and then today I played a little early. I'm not going into the store. I'm just opening up the app itself.
Yeah, good stuff, man. When is the game dropping again?
Oh, shoot. Is it November?
Yeah, I'm assuming November. Sometimes they come out in October, you know?
Yeah,
October. But we'll figure it out. We'll also have another Call of Duty-related question later on in the show. Let's get into it, man. Next up, we got One Subset. He asked, we got three questions for him, and we'll allow it, obviously, because we get a lot of questions this week. Who asked for a live service Halo game?
October 28th.
October 28th. Okay, cool. Yeah, see what I'm saying? Sometimes they come out in October, you know?
But that's one part. Yeah, the rest of it is going to be coming out in November.
Yeah. Anyways, One Subset. Who asked for a live service Halo game anyway? Would Halo Infinite have been better as Halo 6 with a campaign, standalone DLC, and a few competitive online maps, and not be a live service game? It's hard to say, man.
It has nothing to do with who asks for. It has to do with what is the popular concept of, you know, idea, or, you know, what's in the zeitgeist. That's what dictates what is popular. So, you know, what live service games are the new hotness these days. Just like having an online mode and a classically single player franchise, because the game companies think that these things are working for other people, and they feel that they need to have these same things too. That's all it is.
They want that Fortnite money.
They want that Fortnite money. So everybody's sort of turning themselves into sort of like weird, light versions of Fortnite,
yeah.
where you get, you know, little bits of DLC, or, you know, you get little costumes or whatever they want you to be paying for.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, I mean, I do hate the fact that it's a live service game. I feel like that taints a lot of games, that especially legacy mm-hmm. games like Halo that try to go through this path.
It's a misunderstanding of what the Halo franchise could be, essentially turning it into this sort of like, okay, now it doesn't have it, and we just keep on adding things to it, and you keep on, you know, subscribing or paying money into it.
Yeah, but I will say this: I can't blame it being live service for sort of, I guess, the failure of what this game is and what it represents, because I don't feel like 343 is even capable of doing a status quo Halo experience.
I agree. That's been proven already, you know. Mm-hmm. By the way, real quick, one subset is in the chat, so shout out to him, you know. Mm-hmm. He asked, so was 343 just following a trend? Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's all they were doing.
Yep.
And to be honest, how do we even know that this was a call that was by 343?
Yeah, it could have been mandated by Microsoft. Yeah.
How did Microsoft say, hey, look, hey, you know, we need one of those sort of situations?
I already know the corporate thinking. Like, okay, we need a live service game. Halo's our biggest franchise. Money. Mm-hmm. That's all they thought, you know?
I mean, it's also sort of them, I think, also for a lot of these situations, especially with 343, they've been trying to move away from being directly compared with the previous, you know, developer, you know, Bungie on the Halo franchise.
Yeah, but that's going
to
happen.
You know, that was the move, I feel like that's the move of what Spartan Locke started was to represent. So essentially a new character that would be in the seat of, you know, of the Halo franchise. So they weren't using a Master Chief all the time. But I think that all of that sort of stuff, because Master Chief is such so connected to the franchise, it ends up being, you know, a problem. But then again, you look at Bungie, they did two games that didn't involve Chief in it, and they were like two of the most popular, you know, the popular sort of games.
Yeah. Well, that was it. It was like Destiny. When Destiny came out, and people were like, oh, so tell me about what you think. Well, it's like Halo without Master Chief. It feels mm-hmm. like that. The gunplay, the universe, the lore, everything felt that way. So I'm sure on the other end, Marcus, I was like, well, people are already saying it feels like that because it pretty much looks that way. Let's just make our own version, and it will be accepted.
But Bungie was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
They, you know, remember the narrative going on when Destiny came out, when it first came out, everyone was thinking was, oh, because we weren't used to this. We're like, is this an MMO? You know, mm-hmm. is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like an MMO light. Yeah. We weren't really sure. But now we obviously know what it really is, you know?
Yep. And that's a trend they helped launch. And, you know, it's ironic that Halo is trying to do it almost 10 years later, whenever Destiny first came out. So,
you're right about that, though, because Destiny, the first one, came out in 2014, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
It's they're catching trends. They're not starting them, and Destiny is already, you know, one of those de facto titles that people who love live service games like to play. So, there's really no room.
Yeah. No. Just real quick, because this is very important. Logic Wins said this. Halo Infinite turned out to be my most played MP game in a very long time. I would have never given it a chance if it wasn't free live service. And he also said a live service opened Halo up to a new audience. Here's the thing. That's what Microsoft wanted, but it didn't exactly work that way. Obviously, it worked for you. And what happened with you is what Microsoft wanted to happen on a larger scale.
Exactly.
But it didn't end up that way. Yes, Halo Infinite did do very well initially, but that shit dropped off very fast. You know,
the key portion of a live service game is offering those live portions, the changes, the updates to it quickly. And it's obvious that at this point in time, 343 is not capable of doing so.
Exactly.
And if you notice all the delays, it just happened.
Yeah, Brett, what's up? You gonna say something?
I don't think Halo's downfall had nothing to do with it being a service game and everything to do with all of the negative publicity that it brought on itself. I think it's a special case.
Well, no, it's the what do they call it? The live service portion is one portion that caused the domino effect of all of what came later. Them attempting to turn this into a live service game was initially what caused all the issues.
Yeah.
Well, for Halo Infinite, I think what Brett's talking about is just Halo, the franchise in general.
Halo as a franchise was already on a downward slope to begin with.
But I think that's
the live service stuff didn't help matters. You know,
I think that what the live service portion of it, and this is what I said before, what it represent, it was them trying to essentially establish what their version of Halo is. 343 hasn't officially made their own Halo game. They've essentially been making patches to Halo games. In other words, Halo games that didn't work very well and essentially trying to address them. And this address the fact that they don't work.
Yeah,
That with the pivot of Destiny, I think that there was a world in which you could have seen Halo becoming a live service game completely fine, but that world also didn't have multiple delays, a dumpster fire of a first showing, and then splitting the game into small slices and releasing it whenever the fuck they want to, completely regardless of when they promised it. Like, there were so many other things that... Do you really not think with the success of Destiny that Halo could have pivoted into a certain...
It could have,
Destiny was also didn't do fare so well when it initially started too, but... They were able to essentially mitigate with that with regular updates to it.
Actually, to be fair, Destiny was a huge breakout when it first came out.
But no,
people were even like, "Yo, this game doesn't have anything, but I can't stop playing it."
Exactly. Thing is that the strong point of that game was the actual gameplay. So it's sort of like, again, what was that game? It was just you collecting loot and all that other silliness, right? It's literally crack. But the thing is that they managed, because the gameplay was so well done and addictive, it essentially overlooked the fact that there was literally nothing in that game.
Yeah. Brett, I want to jump on your point, because I see what you're saying, and I agree. Yes, this could have done what Destiny did, but it didn't, because 343, if 343. There you go. I don't have to explain anymore. 343, you know?
And I guess that's the reason that
hold on, Brett. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm going to use something you've always said. Not all developers are created equal.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. There you go, man. Finish your point. I just had to expand on your point by giving you a point of your own, you know?
Yeah, there you go. I like being fed my own medicine. I'm just saying that, like, yeah, it is everything that they did wrong with Halo is the problem here. And yes, I think that that's important, because you could say, like, well, service industry games is probably a bad idea. Like, no. That's like saying, like, if I'm like, I'm going to go as Optimus Prime for Halloween, right? And I show up with just, like, an old refrigerator box, like, taped together, in really bad blue and red. People are like, that costume's awful. Like, well, I guess I shouldn't have dressed as Optimus Prime. Yeah, that, or you should have done a good job, one of those two, anything but what you actually did.
But I also think, again, like, I also feel like, in general, there is a lot to essentially making this type of game. And then it's not just also, hey, just make a good game sort of deal, you know?
Well, it's tough.
It's definitely tough.
Everybody, so, you know, as somebody who's loved the MMO industry forever, like, everybody thinks that they can just make an online game, and it's not that easy. It really isn't.
No, it's not. Like, you know, even the biggest of companies, like Sony, you know, has tried to make these sorts of online games. We got a question
about that later.
You know, make these sorts of online games, and they never seem to work out. Like, even Sony tried to make their own friggin' Fortnite, and that didn't work out. So, it's not the money. It's not the money.
It's hard to do. You have to have, you know, it sounds weird, because, like, I think we as people want to always assume that there's always bigger, there's always better, there's always more talented out there. But, like, it's kind of like the medical field, right? You think that every medical question has an answer until you find out that's not really the case. There is a top ceiling of the talent pool, and that's really as far as we've gotten. You know, we only have one Jim Lee in the comic industry. We have lots of really talented people, but you can't there's be a like, lot of there's
Jim Lee knockoffs, though.
There's a Jim Lee clones, but
you can't be like, oh, for every regular Jim Lee that you have, there's 8 undiscovered ones. Nope, that's not how that shit works. Mm-mm. There is a top ceiling to a talent pool, And with certain video games, we absolutely see that with developers.
All right, good stuff, man. Let's move on to the next question by our boy, Mr. One Subset. All right, if this console generation began this fall, would the transition from last gen have been more traditional? No, because we still would have been dealing with the fucking Rona. You know, we still would have been dealing with that shit and all these delays and stuff. So remember, what caused all this stuff to happen was the fucking pandemic. Granted, I still do believe the consoles came out too early, but the pandemic really fucked things up, you know. So no, it wouldn't, if it would have come out this fall, which is probably a better time for them to have come out, it still probably would have been the same thing because all these games would have been delayed anyway, you know. So
there would have been less excuse.
There would have been less excuse, that's for sure. But things would have not been traditional. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make here. You know,
and we would have still gotten a God of War for PS4.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we still would have. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors that caused all of this stuff. The biggest factor is the pandemic that happened, and you know, everything essentially getting frozen, and we're still dealing with the repercussions of all of this. The aftermath, excuse me, of all of this stuff. This has happened. Literally having to freeze all, you know, literally forward momentum, you know, all on everything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, I almost feel, and we even said this when the consoles came out, even the consoles should have just been delayed. Just delay the bigger consoles, you know, until everything is in order.
Now, let me ask you, man, do you think that would have made a difference?
I think it would have made a difference. I think that people wouldn't have be essentially buying these essentially. Having a lot of the games actually maybe being closer to release, maybe there would be actually they could at least catch up with the manufacturing of those consoles. You know, you put them on hold for at least another 2 years, and then
it would have been 2 years this fall. Actually, this year would be 2 years.
So do it for 2 years, and then you start releasing all the stuff.
So the multi-generational, you know, things that are across PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Do you think they would have delayed some of those PlayStation 4 games so they?
No, could put they it would have just 5? They would have just released the PlayStation 4 games.
Okay,
release whatever. So your Miles Morales's, whatever games that were meant to be for PlayStation 4 for previous generation, release those things as normal. Then once all the big boys, you know, are all back in order, that's when you start releasing the actual consoles. Because think about it, if we had all those consoles, you know, waiting in the wings for all that time, right? We would actually have more consoles within the stores for people to get. You'd have a shitload of games that would, you know, from 2012 to 2021, which is like Ratchet and Clank. You could even that Cyberpunk came out in a horrible state, but you could literally have the next generation Cyberpunk come out now.
Oh, they would have delayed. I think Cyberpunk would have been delayed.
Yeah, to be honest, it should have been fucking delayed.
But it really should have been delayed, and they really shouldn't have been working on multiple consoles. But they did make that promise that they were going to release it on the previous generation.
Yeah.
Sony promised you would get The Last Guardian on PS3. That didn't happen. You could change things, you know.
Well, you want to know something? It actually did. Well, it didn't release, but it was finished on PS3. Because if you look at the credits to The Last Guardian, Bluepoint did a port of it.
Yeah.
So why would Bluepoint be on the credits? It's because they literally converted a fully converted game for PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4. That's damn why.
Bluepoint, you know, so, man, for life.
Yeah, you know? That's listed. Last Guardian is listed as one of the games that they worked on. So why would you have those guys on that game unless you actually did complete it and just didn't release it?
Yeah, it's a good theory. Yeah, I guess it's a good theory.
That's what they do.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, man. Go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
I got to say, I think it's a really interesting question because if you had delayed it, you wouldn't have to deal with the manufacturing shortages. You probably would have gotten at the end of the chip shortages, which means you would have been able to release a system without the scarcity. But that's where my kind of mind comes to an end there. I was like, I don't know if the end of that scarcity would have been a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I don't know how much, you know, the question is how much are people actually being delayed by this and how much of this is an excuse? Because if it was an excuse, and you know, like you could have had it come out 2 years later without having any excuses and without having a whole lot to come out. I mean, it's 2 years later, we still don't have a whole lot out for the system. So we could have still been then just releasing with a fairly bare bones library, but no excuses.
Well, you will probably get a lot of those titles all sort of, you know, condensed into 1 year. Maybe, you know, maybe giving, you know, a company like 343 more time to do their, to, you know, try to get their shit in order on Halo, because we all know that they underestimated what they were developing on that.
You would have,
obviously they want to keep to their things. But if you look at the landscape of the previous generation games that are all released from 2012 to 20 now, there's still quite a bit of new titles that are coming out. And a lot of these things are exclusive. You know, granted, yeah, you won't be getting, what the hell was that game by Bethesda?
Starfield.
Starfield?
No, not Starfield. I'm talking about Deathloop. So Deathloop wouldn't be coming out during that exclusive launch time. So maybe that, you know, that wouldn't have been one of those things. It would have actually been out for both of them by then. You know?
It would have changed a lot, I guess, but I just don't know if it would have mattered. Mm-hmm. I know that's a weird way to put it, but like,
I think it would have. But the thing is, there's so many contracts and things, limited time releases and all that stuff. I'm sure that's possibly the reason why they're just like, all right, put them out, regardless of what's happening.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, man. Moving on to the next question. What is the chance of Microsoft buying EA?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, with them on a buying spree with so many studios, I think that if anything, if they do end up attempting to do that, it would, especially so close to the previous acquisitions, especially the United
States. I was just
States
about to say that. I think it'll optically it'll just look bad. Because think about it like this, right? They bought Bethesda, you know, whatever. Then they bought Activision. Granted, Activision came to Microsoft. That's two in a row. That already got the FTC sniffing around. They're probably going to be like, let's just chill for a little bit.
To be honest, like, at this point, do they really need anybody like that? They don't like. They already have the top dog in fucking first person shooters.
Yeah,
I mean, the big thing for them would be to, if they were to get, let's say, Titanfall, Feewolf. They'll never. I don't see EA if they were just selling IPs. That would probably be the last one they sell.
Yeah. I don't know. We're talking about buying EA outright.
I don't see that happening. But they can definitely release some of the IPs, the older ones. I could see them getting
Here's the thing. Like, it's rare when you see studios essentially selling IPs. I mean, the only one that seemed to really jump around was Crash Bandicoot. But that was because that franchise was dead, but still had somewhat of a name. I mean, even Konami developed a Crash Bandicoot game.
Yeah. By the way, I like what Logic Wynn said here. MS is already sleeping with EA. All those EA games are on Game Pass. If you're already smashed in, why put a ring on it? He's right.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, they've already made that. Yeah, he's correct. Like, if they've already made all these deals to have these Game Pass games on there, then why do they need to own them?
Yeah, the only would be if they did the upgraded version, because that's the thing. There's multiple versions of the EA Play, and the higher tier one actually gives you early access to the new games. The new games are not day one for the service, for any of their services. You still have to buy those. So that would be a plus if they did say, all right, we're going to make a new tier. We're not buying EA, but we're going to make this new tier, and first day one releases, let's say FIFA, Madden, all of them will be part of Game Pass. That would be crazy if they did something like that.
Yeah, but I think in general, I don't foresee any of that happening.
No.
Not right now.
Not anytime soon, at least, you know.
No. But I mean, like, you know, like them gobbling up a smaller studio, maybe I would see that more of that happening. Like if they managed to get one of the studios from them
Studio MHDR.
Was that
Studio MHDR of the Cuphead studio?
I mean, here's the thing, like, yeah, they haven't officially bought those guys, but I feel like they also don't want the MDHR probably doesn't want to do that either. But who knows? Money does talk.
Yeah.
Did they ever buy the Ori people?
No, I don't believe so.
To be honest, like
Moon Studio, right?
Yeah, Studio Moon.
I think in general, like they're probably part of their partner developer program. You know, I just think that they're just, those studios are sort of just fine being sort of independent, and it's definitely nice to have a big studio like Microsoft, you know, help assist them
in developing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So we'll see about those things, but you know, but I don't think I think if anything it'll be a smaller studio they acquire and not big, you know, big media empires like EA anymore.
Or big media molecules, dude.
No,
yeah,
you know, media molecule is built of mostly Peter Molyneux's company.
Oh, really?
Lionhead Studios. A lot of that company is built on all those former guys.
Interesting. They're all UK. They're all
UK based, and they're all, you know, again, you know, they make these sorts of weird ass games. Yeah, this is for his former people.
Yeah. Cool. So just for a little perspective, EA currently, their market cap, they're a publicly traded company. Their market cap is over $32 billion. So they won't cost as much as Activision did, but they're definitely going to have to pay over that $32 billion mark to buy them outright, or at least to buy the majority of the shares. They obviously have the money too, but. You know, companies like this don't go on these sprees like this on this scale way too often. Like 70 billion and then followed, you know, 7 billion followed by 70 billion followed by probably more than 30 billion dollars. It takes a lot, especially since we haven't even seen what the hell Activision does with Microsoft and how that's going to work, or even the previous studios that they acquired. They still have yet to release a lot of games that were kind of promised. So that model needs to be tested and it needs to be tried before they would want to move into an EA. But who knows? They definitely have the money, and they've been willing to spend it. So I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Next up here we got Mob Hits. You already know. Trio of questions. Right? Has Sony already rate? This is interesting. Let me finish the question first. I have a question about the question. Has Sony already raised the PS5's price in America by having the $550 Horizon Forbidden West bundle the only one available? Is that true?
What?
Is that true that you could, that the only PS5 available in North America is the Horizon bundle?
He's probably saying that it's probably the one that is most in stock. Since, you know, the other ones are always kind of sold out, yeah. Maybe. He's saying is that they're just manufacturing the bulk of
Because that's not accurate as far as I know. I know I'm on vacation, so I'm like, yo, did I miss something? You know what I'm saying? So if the other ones are still available, then no, it is not a price hike because the other ones are still available. Like in the other countries, it is a price hike because that's all you could get. You can't get any other version. You can't get a cheaper version. Right. Although it is kind of cool that it's fucking available. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what he's saying, though.
I'm looking at it face value, Brett. I was like, hold on. They discontinued all the PlayStation 5s, and this is the only one you get. That's the way I took the question, you know?
I mean, no, like, they're pushing a lot of their stock is coming out in bundles.
Yeah.
Not all of it. But a good majority of the stock lately seems to be in bundles. It all seems to be this fucking Horizon bundle. And
I mean, to be honest, if you still need to request invitation bullshit, that means it's not openly available.
No, like GameStop earlier this week made a tweet, and they were talking about how they were having a drop, but it was all bundles. And there's a lot of places doing that.
Yeah.
And so when you're seeing like, oh, there's drops. Oh, it's all bundles. Oh, it's drops. Oh, it's all bundles. Yeah, they are still definitely making non-bundled PlayStation 5s, but they definitely seem to be prioritizing the thing that's bundled with the game that was made in-house that they don't have to pay for.
Yeah, so like, in that sense, it's not the only one available, but yeah, I see what he's getting at.
Yeah, they're not raising the price. They're just still getting their money. And I'm not. It's a small distinction to make, but I think it's important.
Yeah, and also just to mention... if you guys remember the PS4 days, the most readily available PS4 console for a long time was that Uncharted 4.
Uncharted console. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've done this in the past. I don't know what with this one. I saw Manny, you mentioned the invitation. I went to Amazon just to test it out to see which ones were available, and it seems like all bundles of the PS are all SKUs of the PS5, including the bundle, are invitation.
They're all only. Invitation only. Yeah. So to me, I don't consider that officially available. If you have to, get into a virtual line in order to get it,
or you have pro memberships. That's the other thing that they're doing a lot.
Yeah,
but see, let me ask an old gamer question here, because I genuinely don't remember. Like back in my day, I swear that they included a game with the console for no additional cost.
Yep, that was decades ago, my friend.
Yes, they did years ago.
That was so like, decades ago.
It just seems weird to me. Like what? Was it decades? I swear to God, it was some last generation. Like, I don't remember. Like, I remember getting Call of Duty free with my PlayStation.
No, like the regular base one. I think the last I can't remember. Like, I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure Call of Duty came with my PS4 for free.
Yeah, but that wasn't a launch PS4. Like when your PS4 launched.
I did get my Modern Warfare 3 console. Of the Xbox 360, that one came with the game. That one came with that one, but it wasn't
charged up because it had the game with it, right?
Like it was old because that one had the 250 gig hard drive. It was a special design. It was like the green. I still have it over. That one's still there.
Yeah, but see again, back in the day, you actually used to get an actual game with your console, no price hike.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, at launch, you get a game. I don't remember the last time that happened.
No, I'm just saying this. We've had game systems launched, no games. We've had systems for sale when they're bundled with games. They're usually free. I'm trying to think, like, is this the first time that we've seen systems forcefully bundled with games that are being sold to you, not given to you? Because I kind of feel like it is.
But Call of Duty said it did this last generation.
You didn't have to pay, like, the Call of Duty, they didn't raise the price because they had Call of Duty on it, though. They just put Call of Duty in with it.
No, it was the Uncharted one.
I will go find the box that has Call of Duty on it. Hold on.
I believe you though.
Wait, I don't know what we're disagreeing with.
I think agreement is here, Brett.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know what we're disagreeing on.
They included games without you paying.
We agree. I don't. As far as your question about a console that had a new game that would charge more than the MSRP, I guess the quote unquote standard MSRP price. I wouldn't be able to tell you because I hardly ever buy bundles. Maybe the God of War one was more expensive. Oh, I can check my receipt. One second.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've ever had to buy a bundle before. I remember being like, well, this is the one with, like, this
game. PS2, man, you remember we bought that Gran Turismo bundle and stuff.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, the Gran Turismo bundle.
And it cost more?
It actually cost less because our boy, I don't know how he did it, but you know, we're not gonna.
Well, that's the same. What's the difference between the game coming with the system and being forced to buy the game with a system? I feel like, isn't there?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But I know we've seen this before, though.
Before this generation?
Yeah, like where like the bundle costs a little bit more.
I remember GameStop bundling.
Because this doesn't sound new to me. I could be wrong, but it doesn't sound new to me. I
feel like this is new.
I don't know. Somebody let us know in the chat. Because I feel like we're talking about feelings like a bunch of bitches. no, but I'm saying, I'm like, to me, it feels like we have done this before, but who knows? Who knows? Somebody let us know in the chat.
They call us bitches. The Nintendo Switch Mario Kart 8 Deluxe bundle is costs more than the regular Switch. Oh, no. What? Oh, maybe these things got inflated. What's the price of a regular Switch now?
Still $299, isn't it?
I'm seeing $349.
Well, that's the OLED version.
Let me see if this is OLED.
Yeah, the OLED might be up to $399.
No way.
I swear to God, I remember hearing something about a
going to Amazon right now, man.
Could have been wrong.
Yeah, this regular Switch, it's not even an OLED. It's the same price as
OLED 350.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same price as the OLED one, but it has Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on it.
Ah, see, that's how they jack up the price. Yeah, look at that right here on Amazon, $299 Switch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the regular Switch.
Yeah. Regular. And then the Mario Kart one you said that's the one that's more.
$344
Yeah. See. Okay. Well, you know, Nintendo's going to be Nintendo. Oh, yeah, you're right. $344 Yep. There it is. Who did it? Remember when that song was big? Like,
that's so big if you go to a basketball game.
You know?
Yeah.
That other song, that fucking Superman song. Who's Superman? That whole woo. Like, that people have played that shit for years. Like, why?
The way that song, that first song started, like, even the intro is fucking epic. It's like, everybody get out. You're like, oh, shit. Like,
oh, shit. Let's go.
Here we go.
Come along and hang. Get ready for the Space Jam.
Space Jam. I do want to mention freaking Nintendo, man, and their fucking Wii U games that they're doing on these bundles, man. Fuck them. I swear, man. Fucking Mario Kart 8.
I mean, they have a Horizon Zero Dawn bundle. I have to say this. They have a Horizon Zero Dawn bundle, but they don't make Horizon Zero Dawn plates for the shit? Come on, man.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
At least if you're getting a dumb bundle, maybe pay a little bit of, give you some alloy plates or some shit to go on it.
Yeah. I mean, and it is a game that is like, looks like you're like,
it's supposed to be like technology and shit, right?
Well, not even technology. It's like technology, archaeology kind of combination. And it's like, well, it makes sense with a new console.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. By the way, Tony,
what's up?
I do want to mention
yo.
This is off topic, but it's going to be quick. I find it funny that when the PS5 was announced and was shown, everyone was making fun of it because it looked like a wireless router.
Yeah.
And what did you get on when you got your internet?
I mean, it's over here, so I can't bring it up. But yeah, my router looks like a white Series X. It's hilarious. So it literally looks like that.
So both new consoles look like wireless routers.
What's
now.
Up with that, Ben? You know?
What are they doing?
All right.
They're being lazy and not designing anything. They literally designed two giant vents for as consoles. The Xbox literally made their console into a giant smokestack that blows the hot air up out of it. And then the PlayStation literally is essentially a fancy way of essentially training a giant fan that is enclosed. This is silly as things.
It's like the Xbox. I mean, the PlayStation is just a huge chunk of metal.
Yeah, it's literally heat sink and fan. Most of that console.
Yeah, basically.
He's more heat sink than fan.
He's more
heat sink than console.
He's more heat sink than console, Obi-Wan.
All right, man, good stuff. All right, another one from Mob Hits. All right.
Will
the PSVR 2 be dead on arrival if it's priced at $500? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
$500, man.
Yeah. Remember, the sweet spot was at $400.
You know? Yeah, man, they were the cheap. They were considered the cheapest VR unit on the market. So, yeah. I mean, unless Mr. Ryan is smoking that premium console bullshit.
Who knows, man? All right, that was a simple one. All right, another question from Mr. Mob Hits. All right, what is one Xbox exclusive that has to release in 2023, given how long ago it was announced? Starfield cannot be announced.
Starfield can't be any answer because it wasn't announced.
I got one.
Oh, go ahead.
It's not gonna happen though. Fable. That was announced 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's definitely not gonna happen.
You know, actually, no. Here's one. Here's a more realistic one. What the fuck is the new Hellblade? You know, like that needs to be coming out in 2023. You know.
Oh, when was it announced?
Like what, 3 years ago?
2020?
3 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, you know, 4 to 5 years is a normal game development time. So I would expect it to be 4.
Yeah.
At least a full 4 years, and I think that's what probably won't get hit.
Well, the interesting thing with that game, it's like it's been a long time since even Hellblade 1 came out. And Hellblade 1 wasn't like a AAA game or anything like that. It was more of a AA game.
Yeah, it was more of a double. But if you look at the amount of development time that they did on Hellblade 1, it's actually been a long time. But it's it didn't. But the thing about it is, it didn't have the stage somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like you know, they were doing their own thing. So, you know, they had all these little features about talking about all the motion capture stuff, but nothing that was on the stage of the Game Awards or anything like that.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot more attention to it.
There's a lot more. Yeah, there's a lot more attention on
it. But
yeah.
It's definitely for me. That's definitely one of them. It's probably the main one. I mean, because obviously Starfield doesn't count in this question. Yeah. So, Fable is not going to come out.
That's not coming.
So I'm not even going to mention. I don't think it's. It might not even come out in general.
I was just about to say that. I don't even think that it was going to come out at all.
Gears is the only one.
But that wasn't announced, you know.
Like, that hasn't been officially announced.
I mean, they did.
They announced Gear 6?
They announced it when they did the showcase for the new engine.
Yeah, but
they
we're talking about like
next year. They said we'll be ready for next year. We wanted to have it ready this year, but we decided that we're going to focus on building this game on the new
engine.
Yeah, but
that one doesn't count because it hasn't been that long ago since that was announced, understand?
But they haven't even shown anything from it. It's not like Hellblade.
They showed you something. Yeah.
They showed gameplay. They showed it during the showcase. They showed it during the showcase, Adam? It was for the engine
showcase. No, when?
Oh, man, that was a few months ago?
Okay, so that doesn't count. Because the question is for a game that was announced years ago.
Oh, I thought it was a game that was announced years ago that hadn't come out yet.
Yeah. So, Avowed or State of Decay 3 needs to come out next year. We'll see.
That's not happening.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
State of Decay, if you saw the reports, they're in trouble. Oh, a lot of people
leaving
shit. They're having issues. They had to scrap the store a few times. They're having problems.
That's not good.
You know,
wait, which one's about?
Obsidian game. The medieval
RPG?
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one we just got. I think we only got like a CG trailer for that one.
Yeah, that's all we got. Yeah, it's like some mountains or something.
I think the one danger about making those announcements, and this we've said this before, making announcements so early before games have, before they're fully cooked, is that essentially the expectation is that will it be there, as opposed to pulling one of those things. But they obviously wanted to have something to showcase for the new fancy console.
Yeah. Scorn is coming this year, Mighty Nerd. Redfall, maybe, you know.
No, Redfall got announced for next year, right?
Yeah, it did. Okay, like so delayed. We know that's coming,
I think for like February next year.
Yeah, I think you're right. But Scorn is coming out this year. Yeah. Everwild is never coming out, in my opinion, says Logic Wins. Yeah, I don't know about that game either, man. Yeah, that was years ago. All right, and the last, I'm going to say think, because it's actually not a question. As you know, second to last. But this is a statement from Kishak, and I broke it up into two parts. And we're gonna dissect both.
Got a daily
digest it.
Yeah, he goes, this isn't a question, but a hot take. I want your opinion on. Right, let's do this.
Okay.
All right. So this is the first part. I think Sony should end the deal it made with Microsoft over Call of Duty as soon as possible. If Sony did this, Microsoft would have to find another way to recoup the enormous loss of revenue that the PS version of the game would have generated. I guess this he wants them to hurt, like Microsoft. Is that what it is?
I think that's what he wants them to do. I think
why he would you his... want that though? You know that doesn't make any sense.
That's not the point of business.
Yeah. No,
that's the point of competition. I get it, but like in the perfect world, Microsoft and Sony, they're not obliterating the competition. They're just all making obscene amounts of record-breaking profit. Yeah, you know, it's Sony doesn't give a shit how Microsoft's doing unless it affects Sony.
Yeah, exactly. And also, let's just be honest, that's why
Brian is commenting on this sort of stuff because he feels that it's something that will affect Sony negatively by Microsoft owning this franchise.
Oh, yeah, that's what Ryan feels. But here's the thing, and again, conversely, because people don't seem to understand how much money Microsoft has, right? How much money does Call of Duty generate on PlayStation? I think it was like $1 billion or something like that, right?
Yeah, this was like in 2019. It was like over $1 billion. Yeah.
Let's just say for 3 years, right? For 3 years running, the PlayStation version generates $1 billion. I don't think it will, but let's just go with that. Because I think more people are going to buy it on Xbox via Game Pass. But let's just say $1 billion, right? And suddenly Microsoft is not getting $1 billion. You know they're not going to even feel that, right? It's not even a mosquito bite to them. Losing $1 billion, they won't give a fuck.
Well,
you know.
Well, I will say
they won't be happy about it. They won't be happy about it, but they're not going to be bankrupt. You know.
Well, it's difficult to say that because Activision It's all within their own little pockets. You know, it could be a Infinity Ward game from Activision, from Microsoft. And whenever a company allocates money, they have to look at the different types of profits, a different type of revenue, different types of things that they're going to expect to make. So whenever a team starts working on a game, like let's say Infinity Ward, they need to know how much money they're generating and how much money they should receive to fund their games, to get their developers or the QAs or project managers, etc. And if they don't, and if they're expecting the game to make less, then they might not allocate as much resources to the next experience, because it's all about making money. They're not, you know, Microsoft can't just plow $1 billion or just, you know, allocate $1 billion to just one part of one studio for that kind of thing. So I think they
need to spend that. But here's the thing, though. It would hurt the studio, but not Microsoft, the company as a whole. That's what I'm trying to get at. But the studio would obviously be fucking hurt. But here's the thing. I'm just going with that supposition. I don't think that's going to happen. I think people are going to be like, okay, $70. I'm talking about the hardcore Call of Duty guys. $70 for a Call of Duty, or I could get it on Game Pass for $15 a month. I'm going to get it on Game Pass instead. That's what's going to happen. You know, so I think whatever money they may have lost, maybe it won't be one to one, but whatever money they would have lost in PlayStation, they're going to make it up on Game Pass. That's what I think is going to happen. You know,
let's say the expected revenue from Call of Duty this year on a Sony console is $1 billion.
Yeah.
If it just went away from PlayStation, they're not going to lose $1 billion. They might lose $500 million or something.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be a lot of detractors. And that's why that was my whole thing when this whole Activision Blizzard Microsoft deal started. I was like, if I'm Microsoft, I'm telling them I'm making this shit exclusive as soon as the contract expires, because
that's what I would have done. That, you know,
because you are going to get a huge allegiance of followers from the Call of Duty franchise to move over. That's just and they're all going to be
Carlos, we saw this happen 12 years ago. You know,
and they're still going to be making money. People think, oh, well, don't Game Pass there. There was that. No, I was like, yeah, but the Battle Pass, you still have to buy that if people want it. All the cosmetics and all the other stuff, you still have to buy COG points and do all stuff. They're still going to be generating money. It's not like everything is included in Game Pass. We've seen that even with the new Horizon, that new Hot Wheels pack. You still got to buy that. That's not there. So yeah, you'll have the game and Game Pass. And you're saving that money, but they're still going to get you the $20 or $30 for the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not really. I don't think Microsoft is just suddenly not going to see or Activision. Let's just throw it all together because they all are there. They're going to make their money up another way. You know, because people just assume no one's going to go to Game Pass. Of course they will. Did you see what PlayStation got? Look, the PlayStation Call of Duty players, they jumped ship as soon as the PlayStation Network went out. You know, it's going to happen again. Trust me on this.
And did you see that? Like, even that list that just came out for Steam, and it was talking about like all the games that people are buying. We saw that with it. Cyberpunk was up at the top five. Modern Warfare 2, this one is on that list. And I'm sure a lot of people.
There you go. Like,
you know, it's already there. People are jumping. They're like, oh, I'm just going to PC then.
Yeah. And also, it is a factor with Microsoft, though, because, like I mentioned, if they knew how much revenue that would generate and how many subscribers they would gain just from making this exclusive, then they would have done it. But obviously they don't understand that. So that means that Sony does have some leverage, and Microsoft does fear losing that profit share. That's
they generated. Obviously don't want to lose it. I'm just saying they wouldn't be hurt, but they obviously don't want to lose it either. You know?
Yeah. And for me on the counterpoint with Sony. This is the most leverage they'll ever gain, because after each year that the contract is about to expire, they lose more leverage.
That's right.
People gonna be jumping.
By the time Sony and Microsoft are in the contract table, in the negotiating table, and Sony has the Sony contract is about to expire this year, hypothetically, like what, 2024, 2025, whenever that expires?
They said that the current deal with Activision is going to happen for another 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, let's say at the end then on top of that, then after that, you have 3 more years with Microsoft. So 6 more years of Call of Duty on PlayStation.
But then, I guess versions of PlayStation, or is it just by the year? Because we already know that Call of Duty is taking a year off after this release.
Yeah, it's 3 games.
It has to be three.
So it could. So if they skip a year, then it's three games. You know. So there it is. Yeah. Go ahead.
But by the time, let's say, that's why Sony is acting now. That's why we're having all of this back and forth talk in the public square, because Sony doesn't want it to be in the year the contract expires, them going in the negotiating table with Microsoft, because at that point, Microsoft's going to hold all the chips, and then and Sony has to bend the knee. Yeah. So and they obviously don't want that.
Well, they definitely they want to keep that title of like, oh, this is where you go to play Call of Duty. And with all these other factors going in, they're not going to see that. I'm sure all the advertising that we usually see that says, you know, PlayStation, that's going to be gone. It's going to have the Microsoft. It's going to have the Game Pass logo. You know, and we talked about this before about the casuals that just see that and be like, oh, I guess that's where it's at now. Right? You know, they're not really being aware of that it's on other platforms. So they don't want to lose that, but that's a given. They're definitely going to lose that. That advertising, that marketing, that's all gone once this happens, this deal happens. At least that, and there's nothing they can do about that.
Yeah, it's going to be over.
Front and center. I'm sure every poster or whatever that's out there is going to show a nice little Game Pass logo somewhere in the corner, you know, free on Game Pass.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and people are going to see that. I'm like, what, Game Pass? Well, I got a PC. Yeah, well, you can get Game Pass on your PC. Well, I got a phone. Well, you can play it on your phone. You don't even need a damn console. What? Right now? Yeah, take out your phone. Here you go. Boom. Now you're playing Call of Duty. Go grab a controller. That is bananas.
It's going to be nuts. All right, let's go to the second part of his statement here. You know, the situation, he stipulated that, you know, Sony pulling, you know, ending the contract quick. He goes, this would also give PlayStation's live service games, you know, that are coming up, room to actually flourish since they wouldn't have to compete with Call of Duty being on the system. I know some people will say, quote, you can't trust PlayStation with live service games, or PlayStation should focus on single player games. If you believe this, then I can't have a reasonable conversation with you, because you're assuming incompetence and can't be convinced to see things differently. I don't think you could look at Sony's past with online games, since there is no precedent for this generation. But since there is no precedent for this generation, all we have to look for is the past.
Hold on. I actually have something to say about this, and as actually was going to ask this as a question towards the end. Given how Babylon's Fall was released this year and is being shut down next year, I think that is a precedent, especially after Godfall as well has performed so poorly. So we have a precedent of two live service games, both platform exclusive to PlayStation, so you can't blame Xbox. Also on PC as well, so that's also a place, but both of them performed really badly, and one is literally going from beginning to end in 1 year. So
there you go. Yeah, Brian, thank you.
I don't know
you.
What
thank
to say.
You. Yeah, you're right. There is a precedent, and it's not looking good. So there you go.
And they kind of tried it with Battle All-Star.
All-Star. That's another one. That's another one.
That was their first. That was a direct Sony
exclusive. And first-party game. That was a first-party game. So there is a precedent this generation, and it's the same precedent we've seen before, right? So I think people who are skeptical about Sony's live service games have a right to be skeptical, not only of the past, but what we've seen this generation. You know.
Also, not to mention, if Sony was so competent and confident about their first party live service IPs, they wouldn't have bothered buying up Bungie, who are the kings of the live service game.
Yeah, here's the thing. Just to add to that, Sony said, this is not a rumor, this is official. You read their statement. They said, we bought Bungie so we could strengthen our live service games. They said this. Sony is trying to get in on this, but, you know,
they have reason to be
skeptical. You know,
they haven't been able to crack the code because they're looking at everything that's out there and saying, we want to do that, but essentially making a clone that doesn't even work. So I feel like, and here's the thing. Yes, there is the idea of giving people the benefit of the doubt, but there's a point where in any situation when they consistently continue to fail, how are you going to have a trust in a person and something or entity or person who constantly fails and trying to attempt to do the same thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree. You shouldn't just go, you shouldn't just look at the past completely. But at the same time, you need something to base things off of. But even with this question specifically, like, we could eliminate the entire past. This generation alone has been terrible with live service games for PlayStation.
Yeah, they've just not been able to hit it. Whether it be whether it be their limited time exclusive deals or any of their first party their first party forays into live services.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about both of this is both Microsoft and Sony have been utterly failing at live service games.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. So the only ones who've gotten it right is Bungie and Ubisoft. They're like the only ones, you know.
And Epic.
Epic, yes, right. Epic, absolutely Epic. They're the kings of that shit.
But I mean, I think that also again
what's the name of that fucking gacha game? Is that a live service one?
Gotcha.
Genshin Impact. Is that a live service game?
Yeah, but that's not exclusive, is it?
No, it's not. But we're just saying, very few live games are actually successful like people want them to be, you know?
Yeah. Like I definitely think that it's a tough room when you have essentially zeitgeist games like Fortnite and and a lot of things. Like I mean, it's still insane that a place like Ubisoft was able to essentially turn the tide for a lot of their games.
Yeah,
because I mean, the way their games launched, like you want to say Division was good enough for when it launched.
But we could go down the road here. The Division, Rainbow Six Siege, For Honor, there's like three other games. Like they launch the games, they don't do good, and then they just suddenly. What'd you say before? Because they keep constantly putting stuff to it. You know?
And that's the key to successful live service game. Consistently keeping the content rolling to get players who've already been invested and new players to jump in.
Exactly.
It's always new.
That's where Halo Infinite failed.
And that's where
free weekends and deep discounts. I mean, for a little while, Division 2 was $2.99 on all platforms. $2.99.
But once they got you in the door, right, and then things, they continue to improve it. Now that's the thing. Halo Infinite is not able to incorporate a lot of the different things that they're updates that they're supposed to. They're not even doing half updates to it. In other words. What we're seeing right now with something like Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is not a live service game, but they got the narrative to go when they released their fancy new, which is just a patch.
Yeah.
Right? That fixes a bunch of the issues, but also adds a bunch of new shit to the game. Stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. So there you go. Brian, I'm glad you brought up that those examples. That kind of shut that down,
But it's hard to trust somebody when they failed so much.
Exactly, and they continue to fail.
Give them a chance. Like, I mean, come on, guys, you failed.
How many times are we going to give them a chance? You know,
yeah, like
at this point, it's prove it. Show me. It is not on us to give them a chance. It is on them to prove they could do it. You know.
Yeah.
So let's see it.
And by the way, and just to mention, they're really good at making those first person narrative titles. So it's like
we know what they're good at.
We know when someone has their bread and butter, and it's like it's that type of game. And hopefully, even with the third party kind of stuff, and multiplayer kind of games, Mag that was a game that was released and it didn't work. Warhawk was a game that released and didn't work. They're good games. I played Warhawk. I didn't play Mag. I played the beta for Mag. Resistance was a great game, but for some reason it didn't stick. So it's like they've had this track record of trying to do first multiplayer shooting games, and then they try to do the live service stuff, and then nothing. Where's the flagship game? Where's the yearly content driven game, or where's the yearly release driven game that Sony has been releasing that is doing what Fortnite does, or doing what Call of Duty does, or doing what Destiny does? There's not one.
Yo, Carlos, if Sony was so good at multiplayer titles, then where's Factions?
Well, Exactly. It's like even in the remastering, in the remastered or their remake games, they can't even release the freaking multiplayer on those things.
You're right. So Uncharted didn't have, the remake, I didn't have any multiplayer either. You know, correct me if I'm wrong about that, but that shows you something. And think about it, the only successful multiplayers they've had on the backs of strong single player games. You know. And even those games, let's just be real here, it's just a very small amount of people playing them. They're not, you're not buying Uncharted or The Last of Us just for multiplayer. You're buying for the story, and there just so happens to be a multiplayer there, you know. But Sony just has not had that track record yet. So again, they need to just prove it. You can't just give them the benefit of the doubt.
They try. Yo, just think about this. Think about this. I don't even know if they were under the Sony umbrella, but they're obviously making Sony exclusive games. But Guerrilla Games, we're doing Killzone, which was a first-person shooting game. They try to make it the next Halo, and that didn't go anywhere.
Killer, you know,
when it was supposed to be the Halo killer. When did Guerrilla pop off? When they decided to do a single-player campaign narrative game.
Yep, there you go. Game. Yep, yep.
Okay. Fucking course.
Of course. So there you go. There's a precedent for that. You know. All right, good stuff. All right, and the last question of the night, Mr. Black Maid. Who's getting the new NVIDIA RTX 40 series cards? No, we're good. We're good. You know, because obviously, you know, as a gamer, that allures are like, oh, shit, they got new cards, son. But then you look at those specs, you're like...
I mean, the only one that honestly... Well, there's two things that kind of blow me away. One is the DLSS 3.
Yeah.
Which I mean, it's only hypothetical at this point. We still haven't seen it in
real practice. Yeah, that's what NVIDIA claims.
You know? Yeah, what they're claiming it looks pretty impressive, but that's just, you know, that's their most God damn it, I'll find the word later. But yeah. That and the 4090 card, which is their biggest and most powerful card ever. And that one looks pretty good. But you need to take out a mortgage to fucking buy that.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, like, and again, it's probably because I'm speaking as someone who has a 3080 Ti. I'm like, the fuck do I need these cards for? Especially what games are, you know, are still good for my card. You know what I'm saying? So what the fuck do I need to upgrade for? If I had a 20 series or whatever, okay. A 10 series, okay, sure. But come on, bro. You know,
they're most optimistic. That's the word.
Optimistic.
The most optimistic numbers. Yeah, yeah. There you go. But, so yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing nobody's buying these things on the panel.
No. No.
Yeah. Brian.
Brian. Yeah, we're looking at Brian right now. You know.
Brian.
Brian. What's up?
Brian, I'm buying this. It's like, one, it's expensive, and two, the bloody power draw is ridiculous. Like, again, I have a...
What's the power draw? Because the rumor was the 650. Is it that?
I think with the 30... Well, I say the 3080. Yeah. The actual 3080 is like 320 watts.
Yeah.
But the 3090 is like stupidly high. And it's like...
Yeah.
I can't afford to buy another power supply to put inside my rig. And I'm not going to because... Again, when you consider everything else, like you need like a minimum like 800, even like 1,000 watt maybe.
Jesus!
Yeah, Brett, the power draw is ridiculous.
And what about your power bill once you...
power bill, price of gas is going up because Russia. Yeah. So it's like, it just does not make sense on any level. Like maybe like if you're Jagon, then fine, you know, since you have all in backyard.
Yeah. What games are these for, even though? Like, what do you need this for?
If you want to play Spider-Man Remastered at, I think they said at 8K, 60 frames per second.
I found myself wishing for that quite often.
Yeah.
But, I'm just like, no. Like, NVIDIA, like, you done messed up. Because, again, with the 30 series, they did so well. You know, like, they made powerful cards, good prices, really good, and then suddenly with the 40s, they just said, hey, let's throw that all out the window and then just make everything a giant mess. So, yeah.
Time to invest in AMD.
Mm. It's also to, I know Tony is going to be writing about this, I think.
We'll see. Somebody already probably wrote about it, because I missed the boat, obviously. You got to hit that shit fast, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll probably end up writing something eventually.
There is some funky stuff that NVIDIA is doing with the 4080.
That 12 gig one was the 12 gig VRAM and shit. Like,
yeah, the 12 gig, and I think the other one was 16 gig.
Yeah, 16.
But it's like, yeah, they make it seem like it's the same card, except it's just one has more memory than the other. Nope. One is definitely a lot more powerful than the other one because it's got more CUDA cores.
Oh, but, shit. CUDA cores? Yes.
Yeah, it's and they're marketing it as it's the same video card, essentially, just with one that has more gigabytes of RAM. That's
some shady shit, man.
That's Nvidia, man. Nvidia's been doing some shady ass things. That's why EVGA left.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, fuck this. Like
they just stopped, period. They're done. Like, what they're the like, fuck?
They're like, EVGA, what do you do the most? Graphics cards?
Yeah.
It was like, and they're like,
funny thing is, they actually don't make that much money from the graphics cards.
Yeah, that was weird.
Where do they make most of their money from?
Power supplies.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And that's all they do. They do power supplies and graphics cards. And it's like 80%, is it 80% or something? Some high percentage of the sales, as in stock-wise, comes from graphics cards. Like 80% comes from graphics cards.
Wow.
But the money, the profit comes in from the power supplies.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's madness.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, yeah, most of their business is GPUs, but they're not nearly as profitable as what they make with power supplies. But I mean, obviously, power supplies are a lot more limited in terms of, you know, just where they're going to sell them as opposed to graphics cards.
Brian will probably be able to answer this better. Dumb question: is Nvidia still taking the kind of the Intel approach, like they're taking the high end versus where other people are taking the low end, or is what is the landscape of cards look like right now? Who's doing what? Because I know that people were competing, and then everything went out the window, and everybody got expensive, and then so I'm kind of asking Brian, like, do you know what it looks like right now?
And I'm going to let Brian answer it because I actually can't tell
you. Tony, it's your job.
Yeah, exactly. So I need to shut the fuck up. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
I'm not overly too sure, but from the way, again, Tony, feel free to jump in it when I'm wrong, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure like exactly, but it seems like Nvidia is just doing the usual Nvidia thing of just releasing the top end stuff first, because this is like the first time that they've done like all these like high end ones. Because usually they jump in with like the 30, 70, and 60, and then they do like the 90s afterwards, and then they refresh typically. But this is like the first time I can recall that they've done like, okay, 3090, 3080, and 3070, and then the rest can all just go jump off a bridge. Which is very weird because they're targeting more high-end users now than what they used to, which is very concerning. And just as a quick note, this is from Nvidia themselves. The 3070 draws 450 watts, and it's recommended that you have an 850 watt power supply. Now compare that with the PS5. This is approximately the PS5. Can typically draw around 260 watts. So the 3090 draws almost as much power as two PS5s.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, even just the heat input, like, you are going to have to turn on your AC in the middle of winter.
Yeah. Brett, I'll fully answer your question about the landscape of graphics cards after
this. Yeah. Now, I said, it'd be like cheating to ask Tony first. So, like, yeah, like, is AMD still the cheap option? Or, like, what's going on now?
Yes, but AMD's on the come up, and the way, and I'm trying to be kind of not get too much into it. The way Nvidia's going now, and the way basically Nvidia's kind of stalling in a weird way, but AMD's catching up, right? So we may have some competition. Also, Intel decided to start making GPUs, but they're not looking so hot. They've had a bunch of fucking issues.
Intel's always like high end, in my opinion. Over like AMD is always the cheap variant. But last I checked, actually coming up and doing pretty well.
In performance. Yeah, no. On the CPU front, AMD's doing extremely well.
But guys, we got to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, we do have to give them the benefit. But you know, at this point, we shouldn't even talk about the fucking Intel arc. You know, it's like kind of a joke.
It's not the arc.
Yeah.
Yo, Tony.
It's more like the Titanic.
I will have to, as someone that has been making PC, building PCs for over two decades now.
Yeah.
So I gotta, you know, I'm putting on my glasses.
You gotta flex.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got this, bro.
I will mention the there's something that you mentioned that triggered me.
Uh oh.
You said AMD? I'm gonna paraphrase. You're like, yeah. AMD, you know, is on the come up. You know, they're catching up to Nvidia.
They're not there yet, but they're, you know, they're coming. Yeah.
Well, by the way, we've been saying this for decades now. It's always been like, oh, look, Nvidia. I mean, AMD. Look what they're doing. It's and then somehow the Nvidia just goes way ahead of them, and then it's AMD catching up to them again. It always feels like that. Yeah. I don't know how Brian's experience with AMD, because I used to have AMD cards.
You know, Quell, man, he's like,
yeah, I was about to say. If QO was listening, he's like, AMD's been running the game for millennia.
Yeah, right. Now the thing with AMD now is like people just have a little bit more, because their boss is an actual engineer and shit, so she knows what the hell she's not just a business executive.
Oh yeah.
So that's a good thing. But you know, I didn't know that history specifically, but it sounds to me like the whole Fusion Core. Yeah, we're almost gonna make Fusion Engine. We're almost gonna do it. You know, we've been saying that for like fucking 40 years or something. But you're right. It could, you know, Nvidia could just, you know, lap them again, but it's interesting stuff with the GPUs right now for sure. Even though you can't find them, or they're too fucking expensive.
Fun fact: the 30 series cards are actually coming down in price.
They are
available because of crypto mining just going through the floor.
There you go. Because I wrote a report about it. It's like, hey, you could actually find the cards now, and they're not crazy expensive. You know. Which is nice. And that's why I tell people, like, yo, forget the 40 series. Get a 30 series. You'll be all right for a minute, you know? Because, again, games aren't being optimized for these fucking cards yet, you know? Because everything's getting delayed anyway with games and shit. So you don't really need it, you know, at the moment. But, all right, anything else about the...
I should add something to Brett, I guess, as a, like, visual addendum of things. Looking at the Steam Hardware Survey... It's currently sat at around 2-1. So 67%. Sorry, that's CPUs. Oops, wrong place. Okay, yeah. So around 76% are NVIDIA and around 14% are AMD in terms of breakdown of cards.
On Damn, screen. That is way more one-sided than I thought.
Jesus Christ.
And it's been consistent like that for the last year. Like... with NVIDIA around 75%, 76%. So,
NVIDIA's king, man.
I've often said AMD is like building with Russian tech, right? Like, you're going to get it for a fraction of the price. It's a little bit more unstable. It might explode, but it'll get you there.
Well, and also, you got to take into account NVIDIA and their proprietary technology is super popular.
Yeah.
The whole ray tracing, DLSS, and even things like... G-Sync is a lot more popular than FreeSync is for AMD. Yeah. So, you know, NVIDIA not only makes the more popular cards, but they have proprietary technology that a lot of people gravitate towards.
It's a really annoying, weird one-sided market where AMD are just playing catch up with everything that NVIDIA does. It's like, oh yeah, FreeSync comes out like a year afterwards, and then they have FSR comes out like when DLSS 2.0 comes out. It's like, if AMD could get the tech out the same time as NVIDIA and it performs as well, if not better, then they can take over. But I don't know, it's just not happening.
Hasn't happened, yeah. Good stuff, man. All right, people, we are done, man. Another good show from the Throwdown crew. Do we have anything to plug? Manny, you first?
Nope. Nothing? No plugging this today.
All right, Adam, you got anything?
No, just, if getting ready. We got another week coming, and then before we get The Walking Dead proper. So, again, if you're into The Walking Dead, check out I Am Negan. It's our podcast over on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, of course, the Coalition with a K.
More than likely, not this Monday, but the Monday after that, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're getting close. This is it. The last 8 episodes. Oh, I predict, Carlos, we're going to at least have 2 to 8 million listens. That's not happening.
They don't even get those ratings.
But you never know. We're going to get more listens than viewers of the episode. But you know what? We might get that for some, because some people just walked away from the damn show. I'm like, yo, I'm not watching this shit. What happened? I'll hear it, but I'm not watching this. I got no time for that.
The final episode is probably going to get a good big bump regardless.
Oh, it has to. It has to. I mean, that's the way it is for all of them. I'm sure Love Boat got a shitload of work. So, too.
Only if that is what you wish.
People always want to see the ending. Right, it's always the first episode to get the big one, and then the ending. It's like that we for almost everything. We got that for comics, right? Issue number one, everybody buys it, and then the last issue, everybody buys it.
Superman, and then they got a new number one the next month. You know,
the only thing that really sucks with this is that fucking AMC, or it's just like they're the worst at keeping secrets. They cannot keep a secret for any fucking reason. And so we know so many of these characters are not going to die, and they all have spinoffs. And that's what sucks about
it. What's going on?
Michonne and the Rick and Negan and Maggie and Daryl. I mean, these are all big characters I just mentioned, and they're all confirmed for spinoffs.
It's ridiculous. They're not going to let it die, man.
That's what I'm saying.
They're having a dead off.
Right? It's like, well, you can. Oh, yeah, I get it. You're going to kill all the side characters that no one cares about.
Yep, that's what they're getting.
So, I mean, and I'll tell you this one. Here's a spoiler, which we're not going to see this get solved or what caused the virus that turned people into
walkers. Of course you're not.
Yeah, I don't know. If people are thinking that we're going to find out in the last episode, that's wrong. Not gonna happen. That is not going to happen.
They didn't even do it in the fucking comic book.
I know. They didn't do it there. But I'm sure that some people out there, well, I need to know what started this and how they're going to fix it. They're not going to fix it. You're not going to see a vaccine made that's going to fix it.
No.
Yeah, they're going to crop.
They're all going to wear. They're going to all wear masks.
Crazy. All right, man, we are done here. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. As always, make sure you follow through it on Twitch and Twitter. Join us on the Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. Throwdown is on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show and Tours, Throwdown Show. If you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live. Throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And yeah, we will be back on Thursday with another crazy episode. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, Andor's pretty good.
And who?
Adam Vale.
We got a few more hours of Call of Duty, so let's get ready. Let's go out there.
Brett Murdoch.
And remember, kids, jellyfish are just wet ghosts.
And Brian Mungiomo.
I did it. I finally finished Taint's Row.
Taint's Row?
Taint's Row.
Now time for that platinum.
Yeah, because it taint GTA.
Oh, shit. All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Later.